Clark Judge joins us. Clark, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, Clark. I know that this had been out there last week, so I'm sure you'd looked into it. What's the new drug policy? Why are the suspensions less?
Well, because they are predated. I mean, what happened was they were before this policy took effect, and so what they're doing is saying, hey, listen, we're going back to see what happens now when there was an older policy in effect. And we're wondering and seeing if we can cover these things under the new policy. And most of them do cover under the new policy, because what happens is that somebody who tested, say, positively for marijuana, that marijuana thing has gone up. I mean, the tolerance level has been increased. So if you're affected by it, if you were Josh Gordon's a good case in point. I mean, some of these things have been changed now from substance abuse or from PEDs to substance abuse. Suddenly things are changing categories. The penalties are lessened, so therefore these guys are able to come back sooner. And also, I mean, it looks like it's not Roger, Goodell making these decisions. It's going to be in the hands of, independent arbitrators, and then they choose anywhere from 3 to 5. But in a lot of these things, it's cut and dried, whereas suddenly you were under the previous policy, a certain limit was set for a particular offense. That limit has changed, and if you qualify for that, then fine. You now suddenly get that reduced. If you don't, if you predated it, there's going to be no change.
Okay. Now, I don't know if they have a policy. From what I understand, they have a personal conduct policy, but nothing specific to domestic abuse or child abuse. Do you think they will have more direct wording moving forward?
Well, they do have something sort of specific, because in the wake of the Ray Rice incident, Roger Goodell came out with a revised policy. And it's still a little bit, there's some gray area in there, but still, it went from, the Ray Rice thing was that you were talking about 2-game suspension, then all of a sudden a first-time offender was at 6 games, suddenly 6 games, and the second time became a year. And he talked about, and their mitigating circumstances, well, certainly there are a lot of mitigating circumstances with the Ray Rice incident, i.e. a video, but there's certainly going to be, and there is, a much tougher policy, as there should be. I mean, I think Sports Illustrated reported, if you look under Roger Goodell's tenure, which started in 2006, there have been 56 cases of domestic abuse, of domestic violence, and of those 56, only one player was suspended for a year. That was by his team, the Minnesota Vikings. Another player got a 2-game suspension. It wasn't Ray Rice. Another player got a 2-game suspension. Everyone else, 1-game suspension. Well, that's a league that doesn't really consider it a significant offense or incident. I'll tell you what, that attitude's changed dramatically.
It definitely has changed dramatically. But, they've also, it looks like they've reinstated Adrian Peterson for this weekend. Clark, what do you make of that?
I don't know. what changed? I mean, what's changed in the story? I don't see anything that's changed. I mean, they suspended him or sat him down. Deactivated him for this game last weekend. I don't know. I'd like to hear from Ziggy Wolf on that, because he's suddenly back on the field, and he released this statement, and I read it, and I don't know what to make of it, honestly. The Vikings are handling it. That's not the league. It's the Minnesota Vikings, and to their credit, they sat him down. But now he's back on the field. I've said before, and I'll say it again, this were the 52nd or 53rd man on the roster, he wouldn't be back on the field. This is Adrian Peterson, a star player, the best player on that team.
And that one's an interesting one, because, the hitting the woman one seems to be pretty cut and dry. But there are people who have varying degrees on what they believe is the right or wrong way to discipline children.
Well, yeah, but hitting him with a stick.
No, I agree. Hey.
A 4-year-old kid with a stick, I mean... And then you see the injuries, and you saw what he said to the mother afterwards. I mean, people said, well, that's how his father or grandfather raised him. I understand that. I mean, my dad spanked me when I was a kid. Did it make me a better kid or more disciplined? I think it did. Do I spank my child? No. My father and grandfather also did not put me in car seats, and they didn't have me in seatbelts. Things change. Times change. And Adrian Peterson didn't understand that. He's certainly understanding that now. But I'm not sure how much that lesson has been driven in to the minds of other players, simply because he's back on the field. I mean, it's sort of like, okay, we deactivated him one game. We got our socks blown off. Now he's coming back. I just don't know that anything's changed between Friday and now. And if so, I'd like to hear from Ziggy Wolf.
Clark Judge joining us from the Talk of Fame Network, and that's it's a valid argument, Clark. I guess you know we can always talk. I think everybody's made their opinions felt on the off-field issues for the NFL. But do you still believe the NFL is hoping that this just all goes away and that they can you know go back to being the NFL, or do you think they're actually going to try to be the leaders of making change moving forward and trying to change opinions on child abuse as well as domestic abuse?
Well, you would hope the latter would be true, and they've already started in that direction. They made some changes administratively today, moving some people around, hiring some people in terms of dealing with the domestic abuse and also with security, and I think looking at this more carefully. But every move right now strikes me as that they're, you know, a day late and a dollar short. It just seems that they're behind every story, and it's kind of like, well, okay, yeah, you're doing this now. I mean, you really should have done it like years ago, you know? And yeah, okay, you know, it's better late than never, but the NFL's always been ahead of everything, and why are they getting caught flat-footed at almost every corner here? And it does make you wonder, there's something a little bit fishy about this. It doesn't smell right. And so at some point, we're just going to figure out, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, what did Roger know and when did he know it? That's all anyone wants to know at this juncture, and I guess we'll find out after this investigative team, you know, looks at everything. But even that, you know, you have this independent investigative team. Well, it's not independent. I mean, you have two owners who are overseeing it, and they're longtime supporters of the league office and of the commissioner. And you've got Robert Mueller from a law firm that has sent people out to the NFL, including Dick Cass, who's the president of the Baltimore Ravens. So it doesn't really look like it's that independent. That said, I think the league has to. It's incumbent upon the National Football League to catch up to this as quickly as it can. It's way behind. Better catch up in a hurry. Honestly, I thought what the Baltimore Ravens did in the wake of this last week, not their immediate response. Their immediate response was as bad as the league's, if not worse, you know, to the Ray Rice situation. But last week, I like what Steve Bisciotti did. First, he saw the video, immediately cut the guy. Immediately. Secondly, he goes on TV with national reporters and also I think with some local reporters in Baltimore and says, here's the deal. When you got a guy that you like, you really hear what you want to hear. That's what we did. We made a mistake. We screwed up. And I give him a lot of credit for being honest about it. And honestly, I think if the league had come out initially and just said, listen, we made a mistake on this. We undersold it. We're not going to do that again. But really, that's not how they're wired. They better be in the future.
Clark Judge, joining us, talking NFL. Looking ahead to the Monday Nighter tonight, which you can hear right here on TSN 1260.
No more Ray Rice, so come on.
well, Ray Rice, I'm curious. I understand why he's appealing this. It'll be interesting to see how that one unfolds.
Well, how about the Greg Hardy situation?
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? I mean, that's. I don't know if you've seen the details of that. That's worse. It's worse, but the only difference is there's no video.
Yeah, it's very true, right? It's very true on that one, and they made a decision this week. Now that Minnesota allowed Adrian Peterson back, I wonder if Carolina is just going to follow suit.
Well, it's funny because they got applauded for what they did. And, you know, I looked at it and went, come on, people. I mean, they didn't have any moral epiphany here. If they felt that strongly about it, they wouldn't have let him play in week one. But they did. And nothing had changed there. What had changed was there was a video in the Ray Rice situation. Suddenly there's this national outcry and people are saying, hey, wait a second, Greg Hardy? Didn't the judge find him guilty of this? I realize he's appealing it to a jury, but didn't the judge say there's enough there that we find him guilty, I find him guilty? And the answer is yes, and they played him nevertheless. And now they're getting congratulated for sitting him down. Well, they should have sat him down. They should have sat him down in week one. And I will tell you that, I mean, before we go on to games here, but what happens with, a police officer when he's investigated? He's put on paid leave. He's suspended with pay. Should have done that with this guy, too.
Yeah, makes sense. Clark, the Monday Nighter, the Eagles, who looked awful in the first half last week and then obviously woke up and came to a victory. The Indianapolis Colts, of course, you're losing in Denver. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. What do you make of this game tonight, and how much onus on the Colts early to avoid going 0-2?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a big onus on them only because of the division they play in, and I understand, yeah, Houston's 2-0. They're not going to be undefeated for long. Indianapolis is the team everyone wants to beat there. There's certainly an urgency to trying to get this thing going. I think they will. I came out of that Denver game last week, honestly, more impressed with Indianapolis than I was going in, even though they lost, because what happened in the second half, they caught up to the Broncos and had that game lasted longer than another 5 minutes or so, they would have won. And they clearly were the better team in the second half. That doesn't happen in Denver. I mean, the thin air. I've been there. You've been there. It's thin air. A team's wilt in the second half. It's a great home field advantage. And yet the Colts, who were down significantly in that first half, fought back and made a game of it and could have tied it on that last drive. That didn't happen. And the same thing happened, honestly, yesterday with Kansas City. They came back in the second half, and it was, again, the Broncos who wilted. So I like what I saw with Indianapolis there. I didn't like what I heard afterwards, which is Robert Mathis with the torn Achilles out for the season. It's a huge loss for them. I mean, huge. You look at where they were last year in sacks. It went from Mathis, who had 19 and a half, led the league, down to, I think, the next best player was 5.5. They've got to get a pass rush. And I'll tell you what, if they don't get one tonight, they may find that the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that was the second half Philadelphia Eagles last week, which outscored Jacksonville 34-0. That would be a scary proposition. Philadelphia's a legit team, and we all know they're very good. And look at what Nick Foles did last year on the road, 21 touchdowns, one interception. If you don't get to him, if you can't pressure him, maybe a long night for Indianapolis. That said, I still like the Colts here at home because of Andrew Luck, and I think he's got a ton of weapons this year that he'll make the greatest use of.
Lots of injuries early on to key players. You talk about Mathis. Which one on the offensive side of the ball do you think will be the most harmful to a team's playoff hopes?
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at the top of my head. I mean, certainly the RG3 thing is a bad injury. It's a struggling team, and I don't think they were going anywhere, but they're built around him. They've invested a lot of money around him. That's a significant loss. Ryan Matthews in San Diego, he sprained his MCL. That means he's going to be out, what, I don't know, 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks? That's a big loss for them. He's their go-to guy, and as Mike McCoy had said before the season, he's going to be their workhorse. Well, he's not going to be their workhorse now. That's a good team. San Diego's a very good team. I covered him. I followed him closely. They're a very good team. That's a significant blow to them. They've got some people behind. Danny Wood is there. Brown's there as well. But they really need Ryan Matthews to go the distance. The Jamal Charles incident or injury in Kansas City, high ankle sprain. High ankle sprains can be significant. Now, Andy Reid's sort of soft-pedaling this one. But that's a team that I think wasn't going anywhere. I think they're stuck in the mud this year. They're going backwards. I always thought going into the season 6-10, 7-9, it may be just that. They need Jamal Charles. He'll be out, I would think, for some time. But of all those right now, I just think of RG3. But again, I'm sort of thinking off the top of my head just going through. I'm sure there's some offensive linemen in there, too. I'm probably missing, but can't think of.
Already the rumors out of Oakland, Dennis Allen might get axed. This team goes through coaches faster than some guys go through underwear. What's your thoughts on Allen? Or is it just the fact that I don't care how good or bad you are of a coach, if you don't have any players, you're not going to win?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. I mean, I do think that's right. They haven't had any players. They've been digging out of salary cap jail for years. They got out of it this year. They brought in some guys, honestly, I just didn't understand. Listen, they're a bad team. They're the oldest team in football. I mean, in terms of those opening day rosters, they're the oldest team in football. I think the average age is 27 years. You don't want to be bad and old at the same time. You can be bad and young. I have no problem with that. Those are teams that are trying to get better, and that's like Jacksonville or St. Louis. They're trying to get better with young players. Get them out there, roll them out. There's a future for them. They signed a lot of old and some broken-down players. Maurice Jones-Drew's one of them. I mean, when they took him on, I said, God, this guy's taken a zillion hits over his career. Why would you take him on? Lamar Woodley's another guy. I mean, he's had a good career in Pittsburgh, but how many guys do the Steelers let go who have become consequential elsewhere? And he's missed parts of the last three seasons. Of course, Charles Woodson, the starter there too, has had a great career, but he's, what, 38 now? I mean, you can only do so much with that. And they traded for Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub? Come on. He was terrible last year, unless he's throwing passes to the other team. Then he's terrific. But I look at that as they need some players. And you look at that roster and say, they weren't going anywhere anyway, but I just don't see anything getting better. Dennis Allen's had a long time to get things at least headed in a positive direction. I just seem like it's the same old Raiders. I mean, honestly, I thought they would make a better show of it yesterday. I thought they had a chance to win. They were out of that game pretty quickly, and that's not a great Houston Texans team. So he probably should be under fire. He's had some time to do something there, but you're right. I mean, he hasn't had a lot to work with. But even with what he's had to work with, he hasn't done anything with it.
Lastly, looking at other teams and injuries and things like that, you know, the one team that surprised me, maybe, I know it's early, the Carolina Panthers. Are they that good?
Yeah, they're surprising to me, too. I had them going backwards. I had them in Kansas City going backwards. I'm surprised that they won with Derek Anderson in week one. They looked pretty good yesterday. But, again, I mean, it's Detroit. It's at home where they're comfortable. I think they've won 8 straight regular season games. They look pretty good. I still think they're going to get caught here with their receivers. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin looks like the real deal. Let's just see. I mean, Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, I think, are old and sort of, you know, they're descending players. I'm not sure how much you're going to get out of them. Offensively, I worry about them being able to put as many points on the board to keep up with a team like New Orleans, for instance, or a team like maybe Atlanta in the same division. Now, the Saints are 0-2, and, you know, people are saying you should be worried about them. I'm not yet. I'm concerned about that defense. I thought it'd be much better, ranked fourth in the league last year. They're awful right now, and they couldn't stop Brian Hoyer yesterday. It's one thing not to be able to stop Matt Ryan, but Brian Hoyer, another question. But in terms of Carolina, they are better than I think anyone anticipated at this point. They are the defending division champions, but I still think at some point they hit the wall, and that's when they hit teams like in that division. You know, Atlanta and New Orleans. I think Atlanta and New Orleans are better teams. And over the long haul, even though it hasn't proven out over 2 weeks, over the long haul, I think they will end up as the better teams in that division.
Always great to talk football with you, Clark. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.